This morning, I wanted us to look at our reading from the book of Proverbs a little more closely as wisdom calls out to us, calls us to herself, as the book of Proverbs refers to wisdom. Wisdom is where we get the word Sophia in Greek, and it points to God's creation in the beginning that we see in the Psalm and as we see in the Proverbs. Wisdom calls us from information to wisdom. We live in an information age. We live in the time of artificial intelligence. We have more information available to us than ever before. And yet, it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like wisdom is on the decline. Michio Kaku, who is a professor of physics at the City College of New York, right here in New York, says that as we increase in knowledge and production of things, wisdom is becoming more and more of a scarcity and more priceless. He sees a future where wisdom is a prized possession. And that's the call today, a call to wisdom as God's people. This is Holy Trinity Sunday. This is a day where we also take a little bit of knowledge that what we're able to understand to move us into greater wisdom. We've just confessed it. We heard it in our prayers that we believe in one God, but we also confess God as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, three in one. We made up a word to describe this, the Trinity, which is not in the Bible, but I think certainly points to the truth of the Scriptures, that we have a God that we cannot fully comprehend. And that's good news. It's good news because it assures you and me that we are on a path of growth, an increasing of faith, as we understand more and more and realize how much more there is to understand. This is true about a lot of things in our Christian faith. Even Jesus himself, as the eternal Son of God, is divine, but also born of a virgin in time in Bethlehem as a person, also human. How is it that Jesus can be fully divine and fully human? We don't know. But it's a truth that we confess. Later we'll come to the table and we'll receive the body and blood of Jesus, what we confess by faith, strengthening our faith, assuring us that we are children of God, we have forgiveness and eternal life with the bread and the wine. So which is it? Bread and wine? Or is it the body and blood? Yes. Yes. That's what we confess. You and I are sinners, but we're also saints by virtue of Christ who died and rose again for us. How can we be both? That's our journey. It's a journey from broken people to healed people, from people who harm ourselves and one another to those who bring peace and grace and love. Richard Rohr, a theologian, describes God's wisdom as moving from order to disorder to reorder. We have our own order of things as human beings, our own way of understanding things. And God has a way of disrupting that for our good, just as Jesus was a disruptor of the traditions of people. And he disrupted those things so that there would be a reordering of those things according to God's economy, according to God's wisdom. And so we move from what we conventionally and traditionally think as human beings and our limitations, God disrupts that a little bit, or maybe a lot. But then by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promises in our gospel reading, he sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we would reorder according to the Word of God and according to the work of the Holy Spirit. We see this in creation, which our Proverbs refer back to. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The world was without form and void, it says. In fact, the Hebrew says it was chaotic. There was disorder. And so God, out of that disorder, reordered things by sending light, sending life into the world, creating all living things. This is God's wisdom. And wisdom says that I was there in the beginning with God in creation. I preceded creation. I think also pointing to Christ, who also, through whom all things are made. When we get to Proverbs, we should remember how Proverbs begins, especially this Father's Day. Presumably it's Solomon, we believe, who wrote most of the Proverbs that we see. And it starts out with Solomon recalling what his father taught him. And so wisdom is calling Solomon to wisdom. And one of the things that David says to his son is, don't let yourself be seduced by evil. Don't let yourself be seduced into harming others and harming yourselves. But answer God's call to wisdom. I remember my father used to say something that I never liked when I would talk about my plans, what I would like to do, the sort of things I wanted to succeed at. He would say, Tom, remember, it's not what you know, but who you know. Focus on the relationships. Focus on being a good person, being a child of God. And those things will help reorder things according to God's design. At the end of our reading in Proverbs 8, it says that wisdom is God's delight and that God lets wisdom play in creation. Isn't that a wonderful image? There's a similar image that we see in the book of Job when God talks about his creation, especially Leviathan, which is the Hebrew word, I think, for whales, this great sea creature. And God is rebuking Job, and he says, were you there when I made Leviathan for sport, just for the fun of it? Can you take Leviathan home as a pet? God says to Job. In Psalm 104, it says that God made the whales just for the pleasure of it and just enjoys watching whales. Now, I really like that because Elizabeth and I, and a few years ago, we went and whale watched in Monterey Bay, California. And what a magnificent thing to see. Whales jumping out of the water with a great, mighty splash. They are too, just playing and enjoying life. And wisdom says that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is playfulness. It's having a growth mindset. It's being who you are created to be. And God delights in that. In fact, at the end of our reading in Proverbs 8, it says that he plays in the inhabited world. Wisdom plays, taking delight in humanity, in the human race. That means that God also enjoys watching you and me grow and live. Certainly because in him we live and we move and we have our being. One of the greatest illustrations of this, I think it's so important, is that many of us have a view of God as a stern, supreme being, as a distant God, as an overlord, or someone who is emotionally absent and devoid of tender care. We've cultivated this idea of God in our culture, and sadly, even, I think, in our own hearts. But think of, especially this Father's Day, think of the image of a parent with a toddler learning to walk. Does not a loving parent delight in the child even when they stumble and fall? Is it not play for the parent to watch and to participate and maybe even take that child by the hand? St. Benedict, who started monasticism in the West, was asked, what monks do all day at the monastery. He said, fall down and get up. Fall down and get up. Fall down and get up. That's how God interacts. Not judging us or condemning us when we stumble. Not looking at us, pointing scornful look and rebuke, but a tender delight in us, his beloved children, taking us by the hand, delighting in us, it becoming play, an enjoyment of life, where all that's left is joy and love and discovery as we grow into this. This is wisdom's call. It's not drudgery. It's not the smartest one wins, but it's the one who draws near to our Heavenly Father by wisdom to grow and to learn and become all that God has created us to be. This is wisdom's call, the triune God's extension of his hand to us as we walk through this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.